Take your Bible now, go to the New Testament book of 2 Corinthians. It's right after 1 Corinthians.
Found it.
2 Corinthians chapter 2. We'll read one verse this evening together. Verse number 11. 2 Corinthians chapter number 2. Verse number 11. Just another second. All right, let's read it. Begin. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for what you've done today in our hearts. Lord, how you've answered prayer. Lord, we've worked this week. Lord, we've prayed. Lord, we've prepared. And Lord, your promises have shown to be true. Lord, your presence was here. Lord, folks have been encouraged. Lord, lives have been changed. Hearts have been touched. Lord, we meet again tonight, Lord, needy. Lord, we had needs this morning that were met, but Lord, tonight we have still needs that need to be met in our lives. Lord, you know what we need. Lord, you've prepared a truth for us. Lord, you've given us a man of God to deliver that truth. And Lord, may we attentively listen, Lord, to the truth that has been prepared. Lord, may we apply it to our lives. We yield ourselves to you now. Lord, we ask that you do all these things. We'll be careful to give you the glory for everything. We ask all these things in your name. Amen.
You may be seated. I'm going to ask you tonight for something that I don't always ask for, but I really, really, really need for the first several minutes your attention. If you miss the first 7 to 8 minutes of this, this sermon will not mean as much to you. You'll not get its full impact. So I'm going to need your mind. I'm going to need you to think with me for a little while here. And I need you to listen and not analyze. We'll analyze later, but if you'll just listen, I think I could help you tonight. Let me start by saying this. The devil is not as smart as we give him credit for. He uses the same tactics over and over and over again. The Bible says that there is nothing new under the sun. The devil's not using anything different now than he used in the Garden of Eden or in other times throughout history. He uses the same thing, and people keep swallowing the same poison. It was Ben Franklin who said, "Those who do not learn from history are destined to repeat it." America and the world are under attack from Satan tonight. But most everyone doesn't see the devil at work in this. We are in the midst of a pandemic. That's what they call it. Let me make a statement that should rock you. America is so unspiritual that she does not recognize the devil's ways. God tells us that Satan gets the advantage of us when we are ignorant of his devices. The farther away from God we get, the farther away from his book that we get, the more advantage the devil has. Right. Do you know that less than 2% of Americans go to any kind of church on a regular basis? 2%. I hate to say it, but our former President Obama may have been right. America is becoming not a Christian nation. The truths of the Bible are the best defense against the devil. Right. When Jesus was tempted by the devil in the wilderness, he said, "Scripture says, it is written." He said, "It is written," in Scripture says, and he defeated the devil 3 times with the word of God. Well, if Jesus himself needed the word of God to defeat the devil, how much more do we need it? It is time to educate ourselves and arm ourselves against the devil. Now, I'm going to use a little history here. Hang on. Some of you may know it, some of you may not, but just trust me, it's real history. Just as Hitler planned on the Western powers in the late 1930s, what he called a Sitzkrieg, he said the Western powers will not act on my aggression right away, and I can eat up a bunch of territory while they sit and do nothing. He said, I'll blitzkrieg while they sitzkrieg. The devil has done the same thing. He has counted on Christians to sit on their blessed assurance rather than standing on the promises of the Word of God. We did not believe Hitler was capable of the amount of evil that he did. We did not believe that anybody was capable of doing what he was doing or what the Japanese were doing until it was totally out of control. 75 years later, we're letting the devil do the same thing in our world with his devices. America is sitting on her laurels, cowering in fear instead of doing what the Word of God says we should do. America and the world are under satanic attack today. I have said from the very onset of this that this is an act of the devil and the Antichrist. This is a forerunner to the rapture. The devil had to test the waters to find out, is the world ripe for a takeover? If we just look at God's word, we can see his attack and how he attacks us. Recently, I was reading and praying and thinking about all of this. And the Lord gave me a thought, and I sat down and wrote a few things down, and I think this will make sense to you. It is amazing how that the attack on Job is virtually identical to what's happening in America today. Job was the wealthiest person in the world. Sounds like America. Satan wanted to attack him. He first attacked his businesses. He took all of his wealth, took all of his businesses, destroyed his employees, and he became dirt poor. Then Job lost his children to death by the devil. Killed all 10 of his children at one time. You know, very little in life is as difficult as the loss of a loved one, but you multiply that by 10. Lose 10 people in one shot, in one day. Then Job was stricken with boils and lost his health. He's lost his wealth. There's been mass death. He's lost his health. Then his friends come to visit with him. He sits in isolation. Sound familiar? He sits in the ash heap of isolation at the dump, scraping his boils with a broken piece of pottery. Then his three friends come to comfort him. They all come, and all they do is criticize him and blame him for how he's hurting other people. Sounds like CBS, NBC, ABC, and CNN. The world, his friends, and even his wife get mad at him for his faith in God. His wife looks at him and said, why don't you just curse God and die, Job? How'd you like to come home to that? God got her back. She had to have 10 more kids. Ha, ha, ha. Anyway, sorry. <laughs> 30 more months of morning sickness. He has no right to trust God because things are so bad, they say. Now, Satan has used the same attack on America and our world in recent days. His devices or tactics have not changed. Because we as Christians have gotten so far away from obeying God, we refuse to see the devil and the evil in all of this. Just as we refuse to accept the evil that Hitler and Hirohito were doing during World War II, we are refusing to see the evil being done by the devil in our society today. Tonight, I want to educate you. God says that we don't have to be ignorant of Satan's devices. Can I tell you something? God said he would save Sodom if there was enough salt. I think the devil has tested the waters to find out that America has lost her salt. And if we don't have revival soon, America and the world are about to see the devil take over. Now, hang on here. You need not live in fear and the confusion that the devil has created. My goal tonight is to truly educate you on the devil's tactics. It's very simple. Number one, his first attack is with your work or your wealth. One of the primary things that the devil will do will attack your work, your wealth, your finances, or your work. Finances to man's flesh is a measure of his own success. We look at finances as a measure of success. By the way, that's a poor measure of success. There's a lot of wealthy people that are pretty evil. My Bible says in 2 Timothy, the love of money is the root of all evil. He did not say money is the root of all evil. He said the love of money is the root of all evil. Satan knows that if he can shake you financially, he may shake you enough to quit trusting God. Everybody doing okay? You say, well, what are we going to do financially, preacher? We're going to trust God. We were renting a building. We didn't have anything. I wasn't even taking a paycheck most of the time. And we found this piece of property for $89,000. People were telling us, well, you can't build a building until you have building plans and everything else. You ought not buy property yet. Well, I can't build a building until I got property. I didn't know how we were going to buy property, but God opened the door. We started doing what we could do, and God gave us a $45,000 gift through Jehovah Jireh, Jim Bossy. We got this piece of property. Took us a year. Amazing story. Say, what'd you do next, preacher? We just kept living by faith, and God kept providing. Take a step, he'd provide. Take a step, he'd provide. My wife and I and my kids, before we started this church, we went 3 months without a paycheck. I just told God we're going to do it and go forward. Didn't know how. Do you know my bills got paid for and everything I would have gotten in a salary God provided? Say, that's a little foolish, isn't it, preacher? I didn't ask you to live that way. It's just the way the Lord wanted me to live. But I've learned, if I'll do my part, he always kicks in. Now, sometimes it's 11:59 when the bill's due at midnight, but I got it. Satan needs control of the world's markets to be able to set up for the Antichrist. You cannot have a one world economy until you bankrupt the current economy. I've been saying it for years. Watch the economy. When you start hearing global economy, the stupid entertainers had some kind of show, I guess, yesterday. One world. We are the one world children. Say, what is that? Antichrist. Global economy. You're hearing leaders from around the world. You're hearing people in Congress say, we need to have global salaries. Let's let people from all over the world pool their money together. We'll all make the same. Hello. Say, preacher, what is that? It's in the Bible. It's called Antichrist. And if you'll pay attention, you're going to hear these things being said. So, Satan is conditioning people to accept that others can tell you what is essential and what is not essential. The government has no right to tell you your business is not essential. Say, what makes it non-essential? I don't know. I know what makes it essential. It's essential to the person that's running that business. Amen. The Constitution says the government has no right to say what's essential and not essential other than government workers. And we don't all work for the government. Listen to this. Bill Gates, along with Johns Hopkins University Hospitals, are working to track vaccinations, especially the upcoming vaccination they hope for this current virus. And I quote, "Along with the vaccine, the child would be injected with a bit of dye that is invisible to the eye but clearly seen with a special cell phone filter combined with an app that shines near infrared light into the skin." Sound familiar? Bill Gates is one of the most five dangerous men in the world. He and Warren Buffett are two of the five. Just so you know, Bill and Melinda Gates head something that they're trying to globalize all of the medical records, and they want to inject dye into your skin and into your bloodstream that could be tracked through a cell phone or a scanner. I didn't say it. That's what they said. Follow the money and you'll follow the devil.
That's right.
The love of money and the power of money is the root of all evil. People are corrupted by having power of money too long. Look at Nancy Pelosi. Well, don't look too long. Make you sick. I think I'd rather have the virus. Take a look at Chuck Schumer. Take a look at some of these long-term politicians. There's so many of them. By the way, politics was never intended to be a career. We could cut the debt real fast, get rid of retirement benefits for all the politicians, two-term limits on either or both houses, just like the president, and we can cut this mess.
Amen.
See, the devil wants to control your job, your business, and your ability to buy and sell what you want. So that's exactly what he did with Job. He took his businesses. He destroyed his businesses. So, his wealth, his money, his work, I watch people, oh, am I going to have a job? Am I going to have a job? Is my job going to last? Well, if not, things will get charged up, I promise you. There'll be another one out there eventually. God will take care of it. Number two, not only does he work on the finances, but number two, mass death and grief is another tool of Satan. Second thing he did was started creating a lot of deaths. 10 children in one family. My daughter went to college with a young lady who's, it was about 3 years ago now, I think. At least 3 years ago, maybe 4 years ago. Summer break had just started. His family went to Texas on vacation. And the dad and mom and there was about six or seven of them in the vehicle. I think five of them were killed in a car wreck. All in one car accident. Brother Fugit had to do a funeral with five caskets lined up across the auditorium. And the mom and the one daughter that did live through the accident, they went through a couple years worth of surgeries and everything else. And just an unbelievable story. Can you imagine 10 caskets lined up end to end? In the same funeral, from the same family. Listen to this. About 60 million people die in the world each year regularly. That is 164,384 deaths every day. That means two people die every second. Every second of every day, two people die around the world. In the 40 minutes we've been in church, over 1,000 people have died around the world. Say, why is that, preacher? Because we're all sinners and we're all going to die. See, the devil counts on us not being smart. Do you realize there are 7.8 billion people in the world? We see the numbers like 200,000 or 2 million people, and we think, man, that's just such a big number. Compared to 7.8 billion, it's nothing. In the Spanish flu era in the early 1900s, 500 million people died worldwide in 2 years from the Spanish flu. That's when the population of the earth was about 2 billion people. They said about a little under one-fourth of the world population died during the Spanish flu. Equivalent numbers of that would mean we'd have to have over 2.5 billion people die from this virus, comparatively. Now, because of sin, death is just as much a part of life as living is. The death of people we love is hard on us. This is especially true when more than one person dies in a family at a time. We find much about our own faith at the death of a loved one. You find out how much faith you really have when someone you love passes away. I do not enjoy funeral homes. If you enjoy funeral homes, something's wrong. But I've preached a lot of funerals. I've been around a lot of death. Been a part of many, many hundreds of funerals. Can I tell you something? It's not so bad, especially if somebody's saved. I don't see anywhere in the Bible that says God decides when all of us die. Just so you know, God doesn't plan when you die. I think he has a span of years. We can accelerate it or decelerate it. You say, how do you know that? Watch this, y'all. Doesn't end up good. God's going to say, hey, I didn't tell you to do that. You see, Satan wants you to blame God for taking someone away from you. Calvinism and Catholicism says, well, God's in control of everything. God's not in control of everything. There's a God of this world who have blinded the minds of them that believe not. Quit blaming God. I think there are times when we have a loved one who is sick that we can pray that God would heal them, and sometimes he is able to, but there's other times he knows it's not best. Satan wants you to blame God for not preventing the death of someone you love. Can I tell you something? It's not God's fault. God didn't sin. We are all sinners. That's proof that we're sinners. We're going to die. Death is a time for people to either pull together or shatter apart. I tell people at funerals all the time, you can either draw together or this thing's going to bust wide open. I got to tell the story very quickly. My first funeral that I ever did by myself was in Long Beach, California. Oh, my soul. I went there. I won the man to Christ, William Shannon, just a day or so before he died. I crawled in under the oxygen to win the man to Christ. He couldn't even talk. All he could do is squeeze my fingers. He had so many tubes and stuff in his throat, and he couldn't talk, but he could squeeze my hand. So we had a code, yes and no. And he literally got saved that way. Amazing story. We were supposed to have a funeral. Had a young man in my Sunday school class who was going to do the singing. Had the funeral ready. I showed up, and the funeral director looked at me, and he said, we got a problem. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, apparently the brother of William got out of jail, and he has power of attorney, and his sister who planned the funeral didn't, and he's out of jail to say that he didn't want us to have a funeral the way you planned it. Man, they were in there screaming and hollering, fussing and feuding, pushing and shoving. I mean, fists started flying, and we're breaking up fights. I mean, literally breaking up fights in the funeral home. And I said, look, and we tried to reason with him. He wasn't going to. I said, okay, I've got to leave. So I left, drove all the way back to the church. Got back to the church, hadn't even got to my office. The secretary said, the funeral home's on the phone with you. Yeah, I went to the office and picked it up. They said, he's tired of it. He said, just come back and let's do the funeral. I sat down with him, and his funeral director said, I've been doing this for 27 years. I have never seen anything like this. I'm 23 years old. I looked at him and I said, I've been doing this a while. I said, now, if you agreed, we're going to do this, we're going to do this, we're going to do this, right? Yes, sign that paper. He signed the paper. I said, all right, let's go in there. They had the wedding, or the wedding, funeral chapel. Not much difference. Not much difference. Had the funeral chapel lined up, and the two factions, one sat on that side, one sat on that side, and nobody down the center aisle. I shouldn't have done it, but he happened to be a black fella, and he had his pastor, the guy that was in jail was there, black fella, had him come up and pray and say a few things. He's sitting on the platform with me, and he said, brother, what you gonna do? I said, I'm gonna preach. He said, all right. I got up and I started preaching. I started preaching salvation, told how William got saved. I got so wound up, I smacked that casket. And it starts going, I thought, don't do that. He falls out of that thing. We're all going to have a heart attack. I said, you didn't do that. Yeah, I did. I gave an invitation. I'm not kidding. 32 hands went up, said that they wanted to get saved. I thought, yeah, right. I said, if you really mean it, now you get up from your seat and come kneel here at the altar. I think ended up like 36 people walked forward, knelt around that casket getting saved that day. Got done and everybody's hugging and kissing each other. I'm walking out and that old black preacher beside me, he said, Reverend. I said, yeah. He said, can I borrow your hotline? I said, here you go, man. Just don't tell anybody where you got it. I just handed it to him and walked out. He said, I'm going to preach at my church. I don't know if he did or not, but I got out of there as quick as I could, man. Out of there. Can I tell you something? Even at a funeral, you can see God work. How about we focus on eternity and the heritage that was left by the one who has gone to heaven rather than the death that's there? The more death, the more pain Satan can hit you with and try to get you to focus on the loss, the less gain that you'll have for God. Job 1:20, verses 20 and 21, you need not turn there, but let me read them to you. The Bible says, then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head, fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Notice it didn't say Job's wife didn't. Notice it didn't say the rest of Job's family didn't. He had to do it alone. So he'll work on your finances. He'll work on your grief and death. Number three, Satan's biggest weapon is our personal health. Satan's biggest weapon is our personal health. Job 2:4 says, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. Did you hear what God just said? Skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath, he'll give for his life. He'll give his freedoms up to save his skin. He'll give everything he has away to stay alive one more day. America aborts or kills 2,465 babies every day to abortion. 900,000 babies are aborted in America, not the world, in America every year. We murder more babies and we're worried about a virus? Two million, 200,000 people sick in the last 6 months is nothing compared to the 450,000 murders we've done to abortion in America. Satan knows we'll give up anything we have for our own health. By the way, the abortion clinics are open. Churches are supposed to shut down, but you can go murder a baby anytime you want. And if Ralph Northam gets his way, you can post-birth abort. After the baby's born, if you decide you don't want it, you can abort it. That's called murder. Yes. Infanticide. That's right. See, Satan knows we'll give up anything we have for our own health. To the lost world, the only thing they have is their health. The only thing they have is their own person. I've worked with a lot of poor folks. I've been in the suburbs of L.A. I've been in downtown L.A., Chicago, you name it. I've worked with a lot of poor folk. You can do a lot. You can say a lot to them. The only thing you don't do is touch them, because that's the only thing they own is themselves. Trust me. Can I tell you something? For those of us who are saved, this world's not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Kind of like old Dr. Rice. Somebody held him up one day and stuck a gun in his stomach. And they said, give us your wallet or we're going to blow your brains out. He said, my brains are not down there. They're up here. Guy didn't know what to say. Dr. Rice ended up standing there winning to Christ. The guy put the gun away and walked away. Now, I'm not saying I'd do that. Dr. Rice is a little bit braver than I am. But may I say this? We have saved people on their way to heaven as afraid for their own health as lost people who are dying going to hell. And please don't take this wrong. I'm concerned about people's health. But we're not going to make it out alive anyway. Job's friends blamed him for the destruction and health and wealth of others. Sound familiar? It was his fault. He was affecting everybody else. We find Job sitting in the hot ashes by himself, social distancing, scraping the boils. He was the one that was quarantined because he was sick. They didn't quarantine everybody else. You don't quarantine a whole nation. You don't quarantine the world. I'm sorry. Well, I might give it to somebody. You weren't worried about that when the flu season was here. You weren't worried about that when the cold virus goes around. People are willing to give up their freedom for fear of their own health. The New Jersey governor said this week, and I quote, "The Bill of Rights is above my pay grade, and we'll do whatever we need to do and not worry about the Constitution." That is a direct quote. Folks, that's a felony. We are letting the government tell us what is essential and non-essential. And Satan now has believers believing we are responsible for everybody else's health. Walk through a store. Do you have it? Everybody's looking at you like you got it. Well, if I had it, I wouldn't be here. Just so you know, I'm planning on staying home if I get sick. Just like you should do no matter what sickness it is. It's just common sense. You know, you learn to wash your hands. You learn not to go to the bathroom and not wash your hands. You wash your hands. You shake a bunch of hands. You shouldn't put your fingers in your mouth and in your eyes and pick your nose and flick it at somebody or anything else. You wash your hands. Keep your hands out of your nose, out of your eyes, out of your mouth. Everything will be all right. That's just something that we used to teach people. They don't know that anymore. Look on a bottle of Lysol wipes or Clorox wipes. The first thing that it says that it kills is coronavirus. Human coronavirus. It's nothing new. It's just a different strain of it, just like the flu. Now, you say, well, it's more aggressive. You'd be surprised how many antibodies your body has. You're more apt to not get it if you keep yourself exposed to a lot of things. The reason the preacher doesn't get sick very much is because I get exposed to everything. You build up an immunity. Teachers in schools, I always tell new teachers, you're going to get sick the first year. because schools are a cesspool of germs. You get locked in a room with a bunch of kids who are... everything they touch. Trust me. I've been through this so many times, and it just happened. But after a while, even a teacher will build their immunity to those things, and they don't get sick anymore because their body builds up the resistance. That's what a vaccine is. A vaccine is just a portion of that illness that is injected into you so that your body learns how to build up an immunity to it. That's all a vaccine is. Now, I need to quit. God does not want us ignorant of Satan's devices. I am so saddened that America has believed the devil over God. I can't tell you I'm really disappointed in my government. I'm disappointed in Christians who have not stood up and taken a stand to help lead us through this. I'm a little disappointed that we haven't been able to recognize the evils of Satan. Did you know the crime is still out there?
Yep.
Probably in some cases worse. I'm sure domestic violence is up. The last statistic I read was 30 to 40%. We need to pray for our law enforcement. They fight a tough battle right now. It's always been tough, but you talk about a target on their back right now. Why do you think we try to honor as many of them as we can? Because I believe that they're the heroes right now on the front lines. Wish to God we had preachers in America with enough backbone to stand up and tell the truth. I'm not saying that every church that doesn't have church right now it has a wimpy preacher, because some of them really have some legitimate reasons for what they're doing. I get that. But the time to say it wasn't now, it was long before this. Less than 2% of America goes to any kind of church. I didn't say a Baptist church, any kind of church. Catholic, Presbyterian, anything. No wonder the liquor stores took the essential status over the churches.
Yep.
Let's not be ignorant of the devil's devices. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done. We ought to be a beacon of light in this dark, sinful world. We ought to be willing to stand up and stand for the truth and stand for right. I'm not asking you to be rude. I'm not asking you to be belligerent. I'm not asking you to be obnoxious. How about we just live right and live the Bible and stand for right and stand for the Bible, proclaim the truth and help get the gospel out, and I think we could help turn the tide on this thing just a little longer.